All right, welcome to the very first Company Sunday baptism. I think it's even extra fitting to have a baptism on Company Sunday where we recognize more people who want to be in the company, who want to be a part of the assembly, who are excited about being together with you all. These people are excited and happy to be a part of the church, to be a part of you guys. And specifically happening on this first Company Sunday, I think is extra special. And that's even something that Sean had pointed out earlier. Because what we believe baptism shows and signifies is death to our sin with Christ and then resurrection to new life. Baptism, just like communion, the attitude, the atmosphere surrounding it is not one of somberness or sadness or grief. It is a celebration. We are celebrating our death to sin with Christ and our resurrection to new life. And that is even what is lasting. It is life in abundance and life in eternity. And so the tone of our baptism is one of celebration, and particularly so what even Sean pointed out in the morning is that that happens at the beginning of a Christian's walk. Baptism is not something that somebody has arrived to. It's where they start from. They start from being baptized, and then they live out of that new life that they have. And so a lot of the times in our church, we do have younger kids who get baptized. And in the normal course of things, kids who are born and raised in Christian households are trained and brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then those kids want to be in that group, in the company, and are excited to be a part of that. That doesn't always happen when you're younger, and it is totally okay and acceptable for that to happen later, but we want to allow for that and make room for that and even be excited about seeing people start their Christian walk in that way. So I'll invite this little girl first. Stand on this chair. All right, I know your name. I think a lot of these people know your name too, but can you tell them just in case? What is your name?
Naomi.
Naomi, and who's your dad?
Philip.
That's right, her dad is Philip. Is your dad here?
Yeah.
Where is your dad?
He's right next to me.
That's right. And you have been asking your dad about when you're going to get baptized, probably since you were three. You've been wanting to be in when we take communion together. A lot of times you were pretending to be taking communion with us, pretending to hold the bread and the cup, right?
Yeah.
So even this morning when you woke up, you were acting really excited like it was your birthday. You even asked to have like a special breakfast, right?
Yeah.
So why are you so excited about getting baptized? Why do you want to be baptized?
So everyone knows I'm a Christian.
So everyone knows you're a Christian. And what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian?
To believe in God.
To believe in God. That's right. And who is God?
Jesus.
Jesus is God. That's right. And is there one God?
Yeah.
Yes, one God. And how many persons?
Three.
Who are the persons in God?
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we believe in God, what are we supposed to believe?
That God is God and he died on the cross and he rose again.
That's right. And who is God?
Jesus.
Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross and rose again, right?
Yeah.
So he's not dead anymore, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Where is he now?
In heaven.
In heaven. That's right. And did Jesus have to die?
No.
No. Jesus did not have to die, so why did he come and die?
So we don't have to die.
Why did we have to die?
Because we sinned.
Because we sinned, right?
Yeah.
And when we sin, we're supposed to die, right?
Yeah.
So what is sin?
Disobeying God.
Disobeying God, that's right. And where do we learn about what God wants us to do?
From the Bible.
From the Bible. So you were telling me earlier that disobedience to God could be not doing what God says to do, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be doing what God says not to do, right?
Yeah.
So it could be two types of disobedience. God tells us to do this and we say no, or we don't do it. Or God says to not do it and we say, I'm going to do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
So have you sinned?
Yeah.
Yes, you do have sin?
Yeah.
Yep. And so when we sin, we're supposed to die, but you said that Jesus died in our place, right?
Yeah.
So then how do we then not die? How are we saved? How do we get saved? How does that work with us?
We need to obey God.
Do we get saved by obeying?
Yeah.
Or do we get saved by paying God money?
No.
Do we get saved by doing good things?
No.
Do we get saved by obeying?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's by obeying?
Yeah.
Is there, what is the first thing that you told me how we get saved? What, that a Christian is what? What is a Christian supposed to do?
Obey God.
But before they obey, the Christian, who is a Christian?
A lot of people.
Yep, and a Christian believes God, right? Remember you said that?
Yeah.
So we get saved not by obeying, but by believing, right?
Yeah.
So how do we get saved?
By believing.
By believing, that's right. And do you believe?
Yeah.
You believe that Jesus is God and that he died for your sins?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Naomi? This. According to the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I mean, that's a really great privilege. We realized a long time ago, I mean, baptism is an ordinance of the church. So that's why we don't have dads, every dad, baptize their own kids when they believe. So baptism as an ordinance of the church seemed like it should be one of the elders, pastors of the church to do the baptism. But since the Kuleshovs' two boys have already been baptized, Philip became an elder. So then we asked if he wanted to baptize Naomi. And of course he said yes. So how awesome is it when you have the burdens of pastoral life, but then you also get some of the privileges of seeing your own kid profess faith? So that's actually really exciting. Glad that Philip and Naomi got to do that. But we have a couple more baptisms. Neither one of them are my children, just in case you wanted to know. Okay. All right, Nora, could you tell us your name?
Nora.
Nora, yeah, good. And your last name is Walton, so you've got a couple brothers. Your dad and mom, they're here. You have some other family who came to see you get baptized today? Yeah, good. So, Nora, why do you want to get baptized?
Because I want to obey.
Okay, you want to obey, that's right. It is weird, isn't it? I mean, when would you and I ever be standing in a pool in front of a microphone, like thinking that was fun? They don't make games like that. We're doing this because God actually came up with the idea of baptism. And so you want to obey him. Is his idea? You want to obey him. Good. Okay, so you want to obey God. And actually, a lot of people, every person does not obey God. every person is a sinner. And when people sin, what do they deserve?
Spankings.
Yeah. If you didn't hear what she said spankings. Maybe the truest thing that has ever been said from this microphone right here is correct. Yeah, when we disobey at home, like as a kid, we deserve punishment. And God actually says that the wages of sin is death. I mean, that's the ultimate judgment for those who rebel against Him. So we deserve punishment. We deserve death. But thankfully, somebody died for us. Who was that?
God.
God. And in particular, God became a man. And do you remember His name when He came to earth? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, you know His name. Now, did Jesus ever sin? No, He did not. So He did not deserve any spankings. He did not deserve death. Which meant that when He died, He could take our place. He could die for us. Now, is Jesus still dead?
No.
No. What happened to Him?
He rose again.
He rose again on the third day, right? We have a whole, every Sunday is kind of a Resurrection Sunday, but then we have Easter or Resurrection Sunday to remember that as well. Good, so He rose from the dead. Now, if we want to have Him save us, what do we need to do? Do we need to, like, go to the top of a special mountain and find a precious flower? Do we need to give Him, like, bags and bags of gold?
No.
No? So, if we want to be saved by Jesus, what do we need to do?
Dying for our sins.
He died for our sins, right? And we believe that. And do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? So, are you a sinner? You've disobeyed? I'm going to ask this question like I don't know the answer. Have you ever gotten any spankings? Yeah. I've heard stories that your parents have loved you enough to point out that obedience is better, right? Yeah. So you want all of these people to know that you believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He rose again. And you want to have communion on Sundays with the rest of the church. And when you come back to school, people are going to say, that Nora, she's a Christian. I saw her get baptized. You're good with that? Yeah, me too. Nora, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, unlike young persons, this is different. We don't have a little girl to finish off our getting baptized. This is Jacob Healy, and one of the things that we offer to those who are older when they're professing their faith is if they would like to give a testimony about how they have come to faith in Christ. We think that is great, rather than the like Q&A catechism back and forth. So I'm going to let Jacob give his testimony, and then if there's any follow-up questions, then I'll ask him that before we baptize him and dunk him under the water.
Check. Having grown up in a Christian household since I was a teenager, I've identified as a Christian, had some degree of faith in Jesus, attended church, but never truly declared Christ as my Lord and Savior. I essentially went through the motions without having an actual meaningful relationship with Jesus, come to find over a decade later that my parents nor myself were ever truly devout Christians. Going through low points in my life, like losing my parents or close friends, I found myself always questioning my faith with the Lord and the Lord's plan for me. Moving forward, I maintained some degree of faith in the Lord and would focus on practicing good morals, but still failed to develop an actual relationship with Jesus. Though I could feel Jesus speaking to me on many occasions, I would continuously ignore Him and His signs, thinking I knew best. This only brought about continued sin that would cause continued issues in my life and burden those closest to me. After hitting a low point, feeling hopeless and isolated, I was questioning my faith more than ever, riddled with anxiety, resentment, remorse, and doubt. I could not envision Christ's plan and intended use for me, or why he had allowed certain things in my life to happen. It was at that moment I realized that I didn't know best and that I could not move forward on my own, and I needed to put my complete focus into improving my relationship with the Lord. So I started attending TEC consistently and got involved with TEC community. Between being held accountable for my disobedience and being surrounded by the best examples of what a true Christian should embody, I began to understand what having a relationship with Jesus and being a devoted Christian was really about. Only by putting Jesus first, repenting, and living life with complete obedience to Christ that I would be saved and ultimately forgiven for my sins and be able to live a fruitful life. Through continued prayer, study, fellowship, and focus on living a biblical life, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. By accepting God is in complete control and living to the standard that Jesus set long ago and embracing the Holy Spirit that has been dwelling within me, I know I'm forgiven, loved, and will have eternal salvation. And though not clear at times, I have incontestable faith in the Lord's plan for me. Thank you.
I think it was a year ago, last August, that we had our first official meeting about your desire to be baptized.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened in that last year. So one of the things that we had told Jacob is that there was actually some desire to see a little bit more fruit of his profession. And over the last year, in ways that none of us actually probably would have written, fruit of Jacob's faith in Christ has come out. So there have continued to be very low times for Jacob, and I think opportunities for him to walk away, including a number of the men at TEC really giving significant grief to him when there were times of disobedience, and he kept coming back for that discipleship. And he kept coming back to his profession of faith in Christ. So he's actually not participated in communion with us. He looks at us longingly Sunday by Sunday and has held off on that until getting baptized. So he's been looking forward to this day for a while, and we are actually excited about the fruit that God has been giving in his life and expect that God is going to continue to hold him accountable and pursuing obedience, just like for all of us. And Lord willing, this baptism is even going to be a part of his remembering that he has died with Christ and has been raised to walk in newness of life. So that's what we're all to remember about our baptisms. It is a weapon in our sanctification, in our pursuit of Christ. And so excited for the Lord to bless you as you continue to try to follow him. So Jacob, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good. I mean, as a company, as a group of professing Christians, we all are called to remember our spiritual life. That's a gift from God that we receive by faith. We are called to remember our union with him and then continue to learn to obey all that he's commanded. That is the Great Commission, not just to get baptized, but in being baptized then to learn the rest of what God has called us to do. So that's for all of us. So even if you have been baptized, this is a great opportunity for you to remember and give thanks for what God has been doing in your life for however long that's been. And then to give encouragement to Naomi and to Nora and to Jacob as they continue on to learn how to follow Christ better. So I'm going to pray here in just a moment, and then we're going to have a break, and it's dessert time. So I think you were probably clapping for Jacob and not for dessert, but you can look forward to dessert as well. So again, I'll pray it'll be a break, and then Jonathan will call us back together with another song in a little bit. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your great mercy to overcome hearts that have pursued sin, and even in case of some of the younger hearts, to actually keep them from the bitter taste of a bunch of sin that they could have pursued. So thank you for families with fathers and mothers that are raising their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, pointing their kids to salvation in your Son. I do ask that you would bless the Kuleshovs and the Waltons as they continue to raise their daughters to live in their confession that Jesus is Lord. Likewise for Jacob, we're thankful for the mercy that you have shown him in the midst of a lot of challenges and some brutal things in his life. And encourage him as he has made this public profession, as we receive him, affirm that faith, that profession, and seek to encourage him as he seeks to grow more and more like your Son. So again, thank you for this ordinance that you have given to us. It is for all of our encouragement, even when we've already finished obeying ourselves. So again, bless us as we seek to honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.